The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
And welcome to another Dark Side of the Pooch. By the way, Dr. Rab Stewart, who's on the left-hand side of the screen, if you're listening to the podcast and you're not watching it on our YouTube channel, you should. You get an idea of what we exactly look like. And you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes Dr. Rab's pulling out his bass guitar. Sometimes he's in the shop. You're not in the shop today. It looks like you're at the house.
I'm at the house.
So we're not going to hear any animals, any doggies bark or anything like that. It's kind of nice.
Unless you hear mine outside. He might scratch on the door or see the mailman or... You know, as long as he minds his manners. Now, we may end up hearing my five-year-old when she comes down from her nap, hopefully, but doesn't happen.
It's one of the few shows where, and that's what's so great about podcasts, is I welcome all chaos. My daughter comes in here. She's in school today, but she knew I was talking to you today, and she thinks she gets school off. She's like, I'm taking it. She actually woke up this morning. I said, are you not getting ready for school? She's like, no, I'm off today. I said, President's Day was yesterday. She's like, no, Dr. Rab's calling in today. I said, dude, you don't get the day off because I have a podcast with Dr. Rab Stewart. She's like, yeah, I've got questions. And she actually thought I was going to give her the day off to be on a 30-minute radio show with me. I was like, no, get your butt to school. I said, you got to go to school.
Sorry, Lila.
Smart girl.
You can listen after the fact.
Yeah, but we have the pooches in here. Rainer, you doing okay? Got Rainer and Frisco down here. I took them for a nice long walk this morning, so they're kind of petered out, so it's all good. Got some things. Good.
What? Sylvester used to be over your shoulder.
Sylvester, where did Sylvester go? Oh, you know what? He's on the floor. Hold on.
Can't believe you do that to Sly.
Oh, man. Thanks for bringing that up. Sylvester, the cat hit the floor, dude.
Now we're dark side of the puss.
Dark side of the puss, we are. Very interesting story. And by the way, this wonderful show is brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They just do wonderful work down there. They have exotic pets, everything from, there's one thing, you know what a Gila monster is?
Yeah, I thought it was a Gila monster.
It's called a Gila monster. It may be a Gila, it's G-I-L-A. I think I'm saying it right, it's Gila monster. I have some Gila monster news coming up, and it's not good.
I'm from North Alabama. We don't know how to pronounce our words. It's probably Gila, but yeah. I thought it was Gila.
I don't know if they have Gila monsters down there at Pet World. I'm betting they don't because they're extremely venomous. Mm-hmm. And there was, if you just pull it up, like an hour ago, a dude was bitten by two of his Gila monsters, killed his ass. He didn't even know. Dead 4 days later. They went to his place and then realized he had like 27 different spiders and stuff. This guy was kind of a creep. And you're not allowed to have Gila monsters, but it's evidently a very poisonous, and it's only about 22 inches long. It's not like a monitor or something like that. It's not like a Komodo dragon. It's a small little.
Where was this?
Some guy's house.
Was it in America or some place?
No, it was in America. Hold on. Hold on, talk amongst yourselves, Gila.
And you know, like, can you, like, at what point, like, if you're going to have
Colorado.
Okay. Like if you're going to have these things, you have to know that they're poisonous and they can kill you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I'm sure that this guy knew that. So what do you think is going through that guy's head after he's bitten? Like one time, like, I mean, is he like, well,
my bet is he didn't either. My bet is he didn't know he got bitten. Could have been, he didn't know he got bitten. And anyone, you know, I've got friends of mine that, you know, got on Ed's and they've got pet alligators and they let their alligators actually bite their fingers. It's kind of a, they're playing, you know, but they're still alligators. You know, they're caiman crocodiles. They can still bite your finger off if they want. But when they're babies, you know, it just kind of feels weird to feel them nip at your wrist or your fingers. So it may be a situation where, you know, maybe he got bitten and he knew he got bitten. Could have been like a brown recluse where he didn't realize he had actually got bitten, but I don't know if, and again, I don't know what the bite of, it's only 22 inches long. So it's not like a dog bite. Or it was something maybe where, and you know, this as well as anything, we're going to start getting a lot of podcast questions, mutt mail. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. And again, thanks to Ed's Pet World. they just do wonderful work. And of course, they got all kinds of exotic pets and also Sasquatch toys and comics down there on Citation Court. Seth and those guys do a wonderful place. So check that out. It's just wonderful. I'm gonna, I remiss if I get back. We're going to be taking a lot of email questions about snake bites because it's going to start getting warmer. And you know this as well as anyone else, because you're a veterinarian, you're the best, that just because a poisonous snake bites you doesn't mean you're going to die from it. It depends on when they bite you and how frequently they have just eaten. You can explain that to our listening audience out there, because sometimes the venom from one snake can kill your ass, and other times the same exact snake a day later won't hurt you at all. So talk about that.
Well, it depends on how recently they've eaten. Yes. So the worst time to be bitten by a snake is when they first come out of their kind of little hibernation in the spring, because they haven't eaten for a long time. So they got a lot of venom stored up.
Yes.
And the first thing that they bite when they, you know, kind of come out of their long nap, that's going to have a lot of venom.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think people realize, like, they just thought all venom is the same. It's not. If you get a snake that's just eaten, in other words, I mean, if you're in the jungle and you see that something's got like a, you know, I don't know, a walleye or some large animal in its belly, chances are, first of all, it's not going to attack you because it's not hungry. It's not going to want to eat again. It's digesting the food it's got. My boa won't eat two rats one after another, elite one, and it's going to wait a few days before it eats another. And the same way as if the toxicity of the poison is in their system and they've used that to kill whatever they've used to kill it. That's why a lot of dogs explain this. That's why a lot of dogs, sometimes, like, you'll have two or three dogs, they'll all get bitten. One dog will get really, really sick. The other one's not so much, because the first one gets the brunt of the poison. The other ones are just down there barking at it, and the snake is just taking jabs at it, and it's got nothing left, right?
That's right. So I wonder what kind of the Gila monster, I wonder what kind of toxin it is, if it's like a neurotoxin or like a coagulation kind of thing.
Well, I will tell you right now, it is one ugly monster. I'll tell you that much. It is a desert monster. Christopher Ward, 34, was taken to hospital shortly after being bitten by one of his two bed killer monsters on the 12th. He was soon placed on support and died last Friday. Test showing whether Ward died from the pet's venom or from some other medical condition. Again, he was 34. Ward's girlfriend handed over the lizard named Winston and another named Potato to Lakewood animal control officers. Ward's girlfriend told police she had heard something that didn't sound right and entered a room to see Winston latched on to Ward's hand. She told officers immediately began exhibiting symptoms of vomiting several times and eventually passing out and ceasing to breathe. So this evidently happened pretty quick.
Yes, I bet it's a neurotoxin. I bet it affects the nerves.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine who, for lack of a better phrase, used to collect snakes. I guess you'd say collect snakes. This guy was one of those guys where he could just walk into the woods. You have any friends who can walk in the woods and they can find a snake? Like, I'll give you 10 minutes and they'll find a snake. They can find a snake.
It's my uncle.
Yeah.
My uncle is like a snake man. He can find anything out in the woods.
It's kind of crazy.
He worked for a forestry service for a long time. So he can tell you like any type of tree. He finds all kind of stuff. He knows where to look. So yeah, my uncle.
Yeah. So this friend of mine, lived in a mobile home, near a railroad track out in Thousand Oaks out there in Fultondale. And I knew him through the course of a couple other friends of mine. And I'd go out to his house and visit, and his wife was actually in radio. And I'd get over there and he'd had 12 or 13 different cages with rattlesnakes. He'd find rattlesnakes all over the place. I'm like, rattlesnakes? He's like, we got rattlesnakes all over Alabama. And I never knew. And so at any given time, you'd go over there and you know, if it was late at night, you were kind of freaking out. They'd be sitting on the floor playing cards and stuff. I'm like, dude, you know, and they'd get loose. I mean, there's only so many, you know, and I'm like, dude, this is a little weird. So I'm betting this Gila monster dude, particularly if he had like 34 different spiders, it would take a special girlfriend to hunker down with a dude like that. But I do know those kind of guys, you know, that.
Hey, maybe the girlfriend had something to gain and she decided to leave that little door open.
It could be. He had 26 spiders of different species also were taken from the home to a nearby animal shelter. You can find Gila monsters in parts of southwestern United States and neighboring areas of Mexico. Their bites can cause intense pain and make their victims pass out, but normally aren't deadly. The last Gila monster bite and death, 1930.
Now, that's not a stat that I want to break, you know, like, hey, I broke a 100-year-old stat, you know, you're thinking, great, what happened? My pet Gila monster killed me.
Yeah, that's, I mean, so you're throwing out, you have a better shot at winning a lottery, you have a better shot at getting hit by lightning, you have a better shot at being in a plane crash, you have a better shot, I mean, when there's only been like two of them ever diagnosed, then you're pretty much a rare number right there for sure.
And they take spiders to a humane society?
Again, they're living out in the desert, so I'm assuming they're tarantulas. Different types of spiders. I got, you know, I've talked about my neighbor, and I got to be careful because she now listens to the show. She listens to it every week. But she collects like praying mantises and moths and spiders, and she just loves insects. As a matter of fact, for Christmas, I gave her an insect book, and you would have thought it was the best gift she ever got. It was like common Alabama insects that you can follow and look at, and this, that, and the other. And she would have stayed outside. She just enjoys insects. What's a scientist of insects? What do they call those?
Oh, entomology.
Entomology, yeah. Entomology. She would be an entomologist. She would be a very good entomologist. But she's just into it. She's into it.
Yeah, I think when you really love animals, I think there's like a crossover for some people into just maybe all living things. Cause I've had some employees. I mean, I had an employee one time and she found one of these huge moths outside, like first thing in the morning. I mean, like, you know, as big as my hand, it was beautiful. Yeah. But you would have thought that, I mean, she found some relic from like, you know, the second century, mm-hmm. you know, dug it up, or she found like, you know, Moses's staff or something. Like that's how excited she was about this insect. There are people that just love insects.
No. And they go crazy. And again, my next door neighbor's name is Renee, and they are just salt of the earth. Wonderful neighbors. They've come to you several times because they have a lot of pets, a lot of dogs and cats. And she's screaming out in the driveway a couple of weeks ago, just losing her brain. And of course, I run out there to make sure everything's okay. And she has found a family of raccoons in a tree in my backyard. And it's about dusk. And she's like, look, there's like 15 of them. And there were like 15 raccoons, and they were all talking to each other. And one was hanging from the tree by its tail, and the other one was hanging, and the other one was fighting for a piece of fruit. And it was like I thought I was at the zoo. And she had a flashlight on it, and I was like, my daughter just absolutely lost her brain. She thought it was the coolest thing she's ever seen. Of course, every 11-year-old loves animals. And she was like, is this the coolest thing you ever seen? I said, you know, I've never seen a raccoon in a tree before. We've had armadillos come through our yard, which was a first. And we've had possums at our old house. But I said, you know, to know that these things are all over us and we never see them is just amazing. But to see 15 raccoons in a tree in your backyard was pretty stinking cool.
And the coolest thing that I have ever seen, just kind of, I guess, not in a zoo, was not long after we moved in the house we live in right now. We don't have anybody that's behind us. We look out into Deer Valley, and there's some rocks that are at the edge of our lot. And there was a coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting. Oh, so cool. He was just sitting right by himself, right on the rock, just staring at our house as the sun was coming up. It was so cool.
How cool is that? I mean, you know, they're everywhere. And it's just like, and just to see them is really cool. Here's Dr. Rab, Steele Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. And of course, available on social media platforms everywhere. I will ask him if he's had anything interesting. We had an 8-pound spleen we talked about. Did you post that on your website, by the way? That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. You would have gotten a million views.
Not yet. You know me, I'm always worried that someone's going to see it and get offended, or they're going to get nauseous.
Yeah, dude, if they don't get offended by this show, they're not going to get offended anymore.
Yeah, but you know, you have to seek this show out. People can like look on my Facebook whenever they want.
You don't want this show to get famous, do you? Because you enjoy the show and you don't want to ruin it by making the show famous, do you? If the show gets famous, we're not going to be able to have fun anymore.
We're going to start taking it seriously if we get famous.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll never happen. Speaking of taking things seriously, I thought this was really interesting. You know, we got this greenhouse effects and the climate control, and everyone's talking about the ice caps and everything else. Come to find out that if you take all the dogs and cats in the United States of America and put them into a country and had a country of dogs and cats, it would rank 60th in highest greenhouse gas emitters in the world. There are more dogs and cats that are emitting greenhouses in the United States than some 200 countries around the world, just because of all the methane, of all the food they eat, of the gas that's emitted from those animals, and the production of all these foods and things that our animals need to live. In other words, okay, you got to spend money to make Purina, right? So it's not
just the animals that are producing it. It's the gases that are produced from the things that we have to give the animals.
Yes, but it's still pretty amazing. So it ranks 60th in the world. So everyone's looking for the next big thing. Do you know what the third most surrendered animal is to a shelter in the United States of America? Dogs are number one. Cats are number two.
Number three is a guinea pig.
It would be a rabbit. No, a guinea pig.
I just figured the guinea pig, as many guinea pigs as you have.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know if they would take guinea pigs at a shelter around here, would they?
Well, they take spiders in Colorado.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, they're talking about the next big thing are going to be ownership of rabbits. And I guess this it's called the Animal Society or the Rabbit Society of America. There's like 15 rabbit societies of America and around the world. Evidently, they look after and they shelter rabbits. That's what they do. And they're like from greenhouse effects. They're so self-sufficient because they eat waste, and all their waste can be used.
They eat their own poop.
They eat their own poop, and their poop can be used for great fertilizer. I mean, I remember when we had rabbits, man, we had the best strawberries when we put their poop around the strawberries. It was amazing. It's all self-digestive, and so they have no waste. They eat the entire carrot. There's nothing left, and then, of course, they poop it out, and then you can use it again. It's just self-efficient. It's incredible self-efficient. And so people are wondering why we don't have more people that have pet rabbits in this country. And I, from a guy that's had a couple of pet rabbits, we had them outside. I didn't want them inside because I thought they were incredibly nasty and they poop all over the place. Well, little did I know that rabbits are about as easy to train, to house train, as a cat is. That rabbits can use litter boxes, and they're no more difficult than trying to train a cat how to use a litter box. And assuming you don't have a dog or something that will eat it or kill it, you can let them walk around the house just like a cat or a rabbit. Now, the only problem is a pet rabbit. You can't put a pet rabbit outside because it will get killed. A pet rabbit will get eaten. It's on the bottom of the food chain. A cat can fend off for itself, but a rabbit cannot. But you know, there's a lot of people that got indoor cats. There's a lot of people who never let their cats outside. And I'm sitting here honestly thinking to myself, I would like to have a pet rabbit.
There's a lot of people that have pet rabbits.
Do you look at pet rabbits?
I don't. But I mean, they are a growing trend. So, I mean, the thing about vet school is, you know, we spend, I don't know, like 90, I don't know. Well, I guess it's probably like, maybe 70% of our time talking about dogs and cats in school.
Yeah.
And then we spend 24% on, you know, cows and horses. And then we spend 1% on everything else. Oh, wow. I mean, we had one day of vet school where we talked about small mammals and reptiles. I'm not kidding. And so you just don't, you know, anytime you want to do, because this falls under exotics, you know, rabbits fall under the exotic label of pets. Mm-hmm. When you want to do work on exotics, you have to self-teach that, you know, and it's not hard. Yeah. It's almost like the smaller the animal, the fewer things that they get wrong with it.
Yeah.
And the easier.
Or the fewer things you can fix.
Do what?
Or the fewer things you can fix.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're taking a spleen out of a Gila monster.
No, it will put you in your grave if you yeah, try to.
Right, I know, right?
But you know, but they are a growing, you know, pet. But the thing that, like, the thing about rabbits to me is, like, if you go in someone's house and you see rabbits running around,
yes,
it's just a little bit strange. It just, you know, it's strange because dogs and cats are basically 100% domesticated. If you see a dog or a cat running around outside, there's a decent chance that it is actually someone's pet.
Yeah.
If you see a bunny running around outside, it's not someone's pet. It's a wild bunny.
There's a family that lived over by the old house that I had, and they had four pet rabbits. And you could tell because they were floppy ears. I mean, you could tell they weren't wild hares. And they would put them in their yard, and the rabbits would stay in the yard, and they would just hop around. And it was wild to be driving by this house every day and see these rabbits run around, you know.
But it's just the connotation of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the connotation of having an animal in your house that you also see, you know, running around outside or on the side of the road after it gets run over. And, you know, the other thing is like, can we not focus our energy on something else besides figuring out how much gas is let off by the production of our animal food or like our animals? I mean, can't we figure out like,
you want to do gun control or something?
Can't we get our debt lowered? Like, can't we solve the crises that are always going on in the Middle East? Like, is there something else that we can't, that we can do that's more productive than dumb studies like this?
Listen, if you're talking about, you know, I mean, you got Wendy's right now. They're talking about by 2030 or something, they're going to emit zero methane because they're going to use methaneless cows. They're going to start feeding their cows some type of feed that doesn't induce tooting or passing gas. And so that method, because when you
talk, doesn't seem possible or natural.
No, like it seems like you'd have a lot of cows out there with belly aches is what it is. But when you're talking about the trillions of cows that the fast food restaurant industry goes through every single, and I had a big McDonald's Big Mac for lunch today. It was fantastic. Thank you very much. I eat the cow, cut a piece off and ride the breast home. When you're talking about how many millions and millions and billions of cows that you have to have in these farms just to feed our habit of eating fast food, I mean, it's our fault. We have to do studies to save ourselves from ourselves.
No, but listen, this meat that we're eating, especially these fast food restaurants, it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste like meat. These fast foods, these fast food restaurants, they can figure out an alternative. I can promise you, you could get a soy burger and from McDonald's and Wendy's and all these fast food restaurants, you would never know the difference. And I've never had a soy burger in my life, but what I am eating from these fast food restaurants, it does not taste like meat.
And then they're saying, you know, because there was this big vegan push. There's a restaurant called the Slutty Vegan. Have you ever heard of it?
It sounds terrible.
It's called the Slutty Vegan. And the only reason I bring it up is because I saw it on Fox 6 and I couldn't believe they're doing a story on a restaurant named the Slutty Vegan. It's called, and it's well known around the world. It is franchised out. It's very good. It's a vegan restaurant. It's called Pull Up the Slutty Vegan. There's one that just opened up here in Birmingham and evidently it's really, really good. And so, but they're talking about, you may be missing out on the methane gases and whatever it takes to actually produce the food that's going to feed the cows, it's going to actually feed us and blah, 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 blah. But when you're talking about what you need to do to process something to make it sound or taste like meat, there's a process that goes along with that as well. So that could be causing whether, you know, a coal footprint or whatever it takes in order to make something taste like meat when it's not supposed to taste like meat. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, eventually it's going to come back and it's going to go, you know, it's six on one, half dozen on the other.
Yeah. I cannot, like, when you talked about that restaurant, I was literally about to say, if there's one restaurant that will never, ever come to Alabama, it is going to be one called the Slutty Vegan, but we have one here.
Yeah.
Wow.
You weren't actually going to say that. No. And I remember I was on Fox 6 one morning and they're like, there's a brand new restaurant called the Slutty Vegan. And you know, it's TV, it's news. You don't want to use the word slutty. I was like, and I'm thinking to myself, does slutty mean something in Indonesia that I don't know? Does slutty mean healthy, or what is this? Is someone taking the word slutty and it meaning something else? No, it's a slutty vegan. It's just called. And so then I saw another radio program, and then someone else on NPR was talking about the slutty vegan. I'm like, how in the world do you come up with? I mean, if I had the slutty classic rock station, no one would want to talk about the slutty classic rock station because I'm calling it the slutty classic rock. Yet if you put vegan with it, all of a sudden you're getting all these props.
Well, I think that you're going to get more people at the slutty vegan than you would like the sloppy vegan or, you know, so the slutty vegan is going to draw people in.
Slutty vegan Birmingham. 55th place South Birmingham. There it is. Slutty vegan. Yeah. Slutty vegan.
Did you ever date a slutty vegan?
Best vegan restaurant. And it is black owned. It's called the Slutty Vegan Birmingham.
Did you ever date a slutty vegan?
No, you know, it's really bizarre and I don't know why this happened. It's really strange. You know, I get my kids every other week. And for some reason, when my kids are over at my house, I make a lot of meat because my kids love meat. I love the fact my daughter loves filet, which kills me because it's $31 a pound. She's like, I know I have expensive taste. I said, you have good taste, and good taste or very expensive taste. So I always, like last night, I made a hell of a Boston butt. I made a great Boston butt. We can get 2 or 3 days out of that. And so I eat meat. And then I come to find out that when they weren't here, I wasn't eating any meat at all. Because I had no reason to go to McDonald's. I wasn't going to Moe's. I wasn't even eating pizza pie because I was just kind of eating cereal. You know, maybe I'd have some SpaghettiOs. Maybe I'd have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because I was kind of eating on the go because I was trying to get work done. And when I realized that when I wasn't, so I was going on weeks on end without eating meat. And I think that's how I lost 25 pounds.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't like to, I eat out of necessity. You know, there's like that old phrase, like eat to live, don't live to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat anything as long as it fills my stomach up. So I'm like, you know, peanut butter and jelly, if I can eat it fast. And then, you know, eating is such a waste of time. It's like, it's waste so much time.
Unless you really love to eat, like it tastes really good. And I like I got a sweet tooth. Like we got a DQ down the street that's absolutely killing me. They got this Choco Extreme thing and it just is absolutely killing me. I get like 2 or 3 of those a week. But besides that, man, like today for lunch, I had some yogurt with some fiber in it and a strawberry, which sounds really healthy, and it is. Then I had half a bag of beef jerky, and I had a can of corn. That's what I had. It's like, what sounds good? It's like, a can of corn sounds good. So I had an entire can of corn with probably a half shaker of salt. I had half a bag of beef jerky. They got this new beef jerky by what is it called?
Trapper.
Sweet Baby Ray's. Sweet Baby Ray's has got their own beef jerky on it. It's almost like the sauce is almost like on it. Like when you get done eating it, it's all over your fingers and your fingers smell good for like days. It's great. I try not to wash my hands after I eat this beef jerky.
And everything you just described, you could buy.
And then it'd be in a bowl of cereal. You could
buy all that at a Shell station.
Oh yeah. And then I'm on this cereal fix. What's that cereal called? Hey, hold on. Let me talk about you. Hold on once. I want to show you something. It's crazy.
Okay. What about Captain Crunch? I can talk about Captain Crunch while you look for your cereal. It's a good cereal. Hurts the roof of my mouth. Kids love it.
Dude, this right here, man.
Loaded.
See, there's a cereal called Crave that came out.
Oh my
gosh. And it's like, it's the only thing I can equate it to is like Nutella. When you first try Nutella, you're like, oh, this is not good. I mean, you're ripping through Nutella. Remember that, what was that country where they legalized Nutella? It was illegal or something. They legalized Nutella and people were dying to get in the store to get Nutella. I mean, they were ripping each other's arms off to try to get this Nutella.
Sounds like North Korea.
I think it was. And then, but the first time you have Nutella, You actually feel like you just left your drug dealer. I mean, you're ripping the top of it off and you're smelling it and you're looking at it and you're like, holy smokes, this whole thing, I could eat this whole thing. And it is
pupils dilated,
your heart rate's good, and it's the worst thing in the world. Like, it's worse than butter. Like, I don't know why you'd want to put Nutella on toast. I know people are making these fruit bowls now where they just take a, you know, you put a strawberry in there with some yogurt, and then you pick like 2-3 gobs of Nutella in there. So, yeah, so I found this Crave. And so normally I could get me 4 bowls of cereal out of a box of cereal. I was getting 1 thing of cereal out of 1 Crave. I was eating an entire box of Crave cereal. And I was like, I got to stop because it is 120 calories for like a bowl of Cheerios, even like sweet cereal. It's 120 calories with milk. This is 240. Okay. So, I mean, it's basically like eating just chocolate straight donuts for breakfast, but because it's cereal, we think we can eat the hell out of it and we're not going to get fat. Right. So then I start putting weight on. And so now they've got this stuff called Loaded. Oh my gosh. They got Cocoa Puffs. They've got Chex. And they basically have filled Chex and Cocoa Puffs with this white vanilla cream. I'm telling you, dude, don't do it. I'm telling you, I'm going to have a bowl of it as soon as I get done. This is going to be my lunch today, along with my thing of corn and my beef jerky. It's fantastic.
And you're eating that stuff out of a mixing bowl with a wooden spoon.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. It's fantastic, man. It is fantastic. Now, it's one of those things that you can't use paper bowls because you can't get the milk high enough. And there's that point in time where the milk constitution of the bowl along with the cereal is just perfect, where it's just crispy enough that it doesn't cut your mouth, but it's not so draining enough that the cereal is not all soggy. You know what I'm talking about?
That's what I said to fill the air when you went to go get your cereal. I was talking about Captain Crunch and how it cuts the roof of your mouth.
And it's funny because you'll wake up like 2 or 3 days later and you're like, your roof of your mouth hurts really bad and you can't figure out why. You're like, did I eat something really hot and burn my mouth or something? And you realize you had Captain Crunch on Tuesday.
Did my Gila monster scratch me in the night as I've snored?
All right, Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by, of course, the wonderful folks down there at Ed's Pet World. They have all kinds of exotic pets. I don't think they have Gila monsters, but they got everything else down there. They got, what do they call, Laguamas? I don't know. They got all kinds of lizards and stuff down there, snakes, all kinds of cool things, birds. And of course, they also have this wonderful place called the Sasquatch Comics and Toys, Toys and Comics. It's wonderful down there in Citation Lane. Check it out. They have comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Snakes that's still in the box. They're unopened. They're collectibles. Check it out. Seth Cosby and his crew do wonderful work. One final question, info@tonycurryradio.net. Stacy in Birmingham wants to know, how'd the laundry turn out?
Oh, it was great. I mean, wife was super thrilled that I did.
You watched last week's episode. You saw Dr. Rab doing the laundry, which I commend you on. It was very, very nice. But she was very, very happy with you.
She was very happy. Something, I think I'm in trouble now because I think I'm going to have to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. That's why guys do lousy laundry, because that way we try. I tried and she said I was doing it wrong. And I was like, no. And it's just like, just leave it alone. I'll do it. You're doing it wrong. You're going to ruin our clothes. And I'm like, okay, well,
I shrunk the kids' leotards.
Yeah. And guys know better, man. Guys will figure it out. Guys know how to do laundry, ladies. Don't let them use that. All right. Anything else going on in the store? Anything good?
No, just, you know, tune in next week for Dark Side of the Cereal Part 2.
There you go. I'm bringing Rainer in next week.
Okay.
He's got some issues. Oh. He's getting a little fat. I've been feeding him off the table. Still putting him up in the bathroom. We have not had any issues with him peeing on my recliner since I started putting him in the bathroom, but there is a little leakage on the floor, so I'm a little concerned by that, and I have to get him a bath and a cut, and I can't do that until he has his shots.
So, are you feeding him Crave? Are you guys eating out of the same Crave?
No, no, because it's got chocolate. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, dude, go get yourself some of this right here. And I'm telling you, you will eat.
No, I'm not getting wrapped up.
I mean, it's called Loaded, for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's, these are the same people that harness all their attention towards getting our kids to vape at the age of 11. They're starting with Loaded cereal. I mean, it sounds like a drug, doesn't it? Loaded. It's not good. Mm-hmm. For, yeah.
Sounds like a fantastic album from Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, right?
It's a great album. Fish covered that album for Halloween in maybe 2010 or 2011. They covered the whole thing front to back. It's a great album.
Oh, it is called Loaded.
Yeah, the album's called Loaded.
Yeah, it's called Loaded. Okay, well, I was sitting there pulling up the album Loaded. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Oh, it is a fantastic record. Velvet Underground, Loaded, so good.
And what's on it here?
I mean, honestly, I don't know if I could tell you. Oh, one song.
It's got Who Loves the Sun, Sweet Jane, Rock and Roll, Cool It Down, New Age.
Yeah. Front to back. I mean, there is not a stinker on the album. It's incredible.
Oh, I'm gonna have to pull it up. Okay, it's called Loaded. All right, I was looking to see if there was any other albums named Loaded. How about that? Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
We'll catch up next week.
See ya.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.